Our passage today is 2 Timothy 3. It's probably the last words Paul wrote to his close friend Timothy. It poses a question. Who do you follow? We Brits are an independent lot. We like to think we make our own decisions. But peel back the layers of influence and what do you find? This chapter is all about who you follow. Paul is writing to someone he has mentored. And he's trying to gee him up a bit, get him motivated and back on track. This is a personal note to someone he has shared much of his ministry with. He's invested in Timothy in the way Jesus invested in his disciples. Paul knew he didn't have long to live, so he wanted Timothy to grasp some things. Things which were really important. He begins chapter 3 by telling Timothy to realise something. Verse 1. Mark this, he's saying. Realise this. Understand this. He wants Timothy to grasp something, something important. Then he tells Timothy how bad life will get. Why? Because of people. Verse 2. We're told people will love themselves, love money, and later, love pleasure. You might be thinking, what's the matter with that? Well, there are consequences to a life like this. Paul outlines the results in verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and here are the consequences. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Surely we don't want to follow people like this. 500,000 people followed the Secretary of State for Health before he got caught out. This young lady had hundreds of thousands of followers before she was exposed after fraudulently claiming to have cancer she never had. She called herself an influencer. This passage gives us some indicators on how we can spot such people. In verse 1, we're told when this will happen. In the last days, it says. Biblically speaking, that's not the month before Jesus returns. It's the period we're in now, between Jesus' resurrection and second coming. Well, we don't need convincing there are bad times and bad people, do we? But this chapter is about what are we going to do in these times? How are we going to handle it? Paul makes the point, it all comes down to who you are following. What's amazing is this last list of nasty characters in verses 2 to 5 are not politicians or media influencers. They were religious leaders. Verse 5 tells us they had a form of godliness. Paul wasn't referring to his brutal Roman guards or neighbours who'd reported him and lied about it. Paul was telling Timothy to beware of religious people. The kind who want power over you, want to enslave you, but know nothing of the power of God. How do we recognise them? They're like Jannes and Jambres. Now, like me, you might be wondering, who's Jannes and Jambres? They're not in the Bible. But Jewish tradition is clear. They are the magicians who Pharaoh employed to keep the Jews as slaves. They were characterized by deceit and by a desire for power. They worked with the aim of enslaving people. Sounds a bit like some people in the world today, doesn't it? What does Paul tell Timothy? Verse 5. Have nothing to do with them. Now, in this time of relative isolation, we've all had chance to listen to people from all over the world. That's great. But if these religious people with a form of godliness have wormed their way into your house and taken advantage of you, deceived you, if they're boastful, proud, critical and demanding, Paul tells us, have nothing to do with them. I got caught out a few times. I'd be listening to a sermon on TV or YouTube and it would turn into an advert or a demand for money. It would make me feel obliged to give, as though I was letting God down if I didn't. They'd convince me if this great Christian celebrity agrees with it, it must be right to support it. They'd proclaim how much they were achieving, how many people were getting on board, and leave me feeling I ought to give. That's not what it says here. It says, have nothing to do with them. You see, this chapter is all about who you follow. Maybe you think no one. There's an advertising industry in the UK that spent £23 billion last year who would disagree. So who do you follow? We're influenced today in a way more powerful than ever before. The biggest companies in the UK are banks, energy, pharmaceuticals, and technology. They all say the same thing. Followers on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, they're very, very powerful. They have a worldwide following. So who do you follow? Perhaps it's not social media. Maybe it's the news program you watch 10 times a day, or the newspaper you spend more time on reading than the Bible. Maybe you think the only person I follow is Jesus. Surprisingly, that's not what it says here. This chapter is about who else is worth following. Paul the writer comes to an interesting conclusion and piece of advice for Timothy. In verse 10, Paul asks Timothy to recall something. Remember what kind of things happened to me. Paul lived an open and honest life. He shared it with Timothy. It wasn't about giving impressions, spin or deceit. It was reality. He says, you know what happened to me. Paul points out the reality of what they shared because Timothy was there. Acts 16 makes it clear. Timothy and Paul knew the same people in Lystra and Iconium. They met in these places, worked together, made mistakes together, were persecuted together. Paul shared his life with Timothy. If you're an older Christian, may I ask, who are you sharing your life with? If you're new to the faith, find someone who you can learn God's word from someone who lives it. In verse 14, Paul tells us, you know those from whom you learned it. You won't find these people on TV or YouTube. They'll be out there doing the work, not just telling you about how important they are. Like Paul and Timothy, find someone to share the work with. In the context of God's work, you will learn how to live. Who did Timothy follow? Verse 15. From infancy you learned it. Chapter 1 clarifies, Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. They imparted their sincere faith to Timothy. That's the thing about kids. They can see right through hypocrisy. They know when it's real. My 4-year-old grandson, Ollie, has two stock phrases. What are you talking about? And what are you doing? He wants to learn all the time. What an opportunity for you parents with young children to share a sincere faith. Let me encourage you parents, don't be too busy to share your faith with the kids. Include them in your Christian life. It's not just about getting them into church activities. At home, you've got a much better resource, your sincere faith. So what should we be imparting to our kids and our Timothys, those we mentor and share our lives with? Let me illustrate from my own life. When Phil got here to this church, I met this thoughtful, calm and godly man. I didn't get really very close because I couldn't relate to some of these very spiritual qualities at a surface level. He was always wanting to pray about everything. He never seemed to get upset when people were totally unreasonable. I just felt embarrassed by my very different reactions. As I got to know him better, as we worked together on different projects, I got to know the real Phil. Like me, he supported a League One football team. He gets troubled by some of the decisions he has to make. He doesn't want to upset people. When we started doing daily encouragements, he was always so reassuring. Mine were nearly always a challenge. Here we are, 15 months later, and he's rubbed off on me. Funnily, his are more challenging, mine are more reassuring. One thing that hasn't changed, he still does 4 times as many as me. You see, it's not his daily encouragements that have changed me, it's his life. Seeing God's word lived out, working together, making mistakes together. Just as Paul pointed to in verse 10, I'd learned all about his way of life. His purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. That's the kind of person I want to follow. Who do you follow? I mentioned Paul reaches an interesting conclusion and piece of advice. He tells Timothy, follow someone you can get close to, who is open and will share their life. Follow someone you can share your ministry with. And above all, follow someone who lives out the word of God. That's why Paul's instruction ends the way it does. Look at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This chapter starts with a warning to stay away from selfish men. It ends with a promise and a reason for believing it. All scripture is God-breathed. It's the only time in the Bible this term's used. It doesn't mean dictated to as other religious texts claim to be. The term God-breathed shows us the Bible's organic relationship with people. God chose certain people at a deliberately chosen time. He brought certain thoughts to their attention and moved them to write. God worked within the boundaries of their experiences and education, within their personalities and even their prejudices. Still, God produced from these people something of supreme value. As the Psalms say, more precious than gold, much fine gold. Paul makes an astonishing claim here, individually, as a church, and as a society. The Bible is profitable. That's the promise. Not like forgotten YouTube channels or disgraced TV stars. Not just a bit of it, all of it. All scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for life. Can't say that about anything else, especially after 2,000 years. And God has a reason for giving us such treasure. Verse 17 tells us, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You want to serve God? Get equipped. Learn his word. Take time with it to understand it. But most of all, live it out. Not to have a comprehensive appreciation of theology, but for every good work. You don't want a plumber or a hairdresser who's written books or knows all the other books. You want someone who has lots of experience doing what the books say. We can't afford to dismiss God's word. It can do so much for us. Do we treasure it? Not just to learn it, but to live it out. How has it changed your life this week? What did you decide you should or shouldn't do because of God's word this week? That's the training it promises. Correcting the mistakes you would have made, those that would have been costly, the mistakes that might have messed up your life. We're told the Bible thoroughly equips for every good work. In our country, the end of slavery and child labour originated with people who were equipped with the Bible. Schools and hospitals all started with people equipped with the Bible. That's why they have names like St. Luke's and St. Thomas's. That's why Robert Smythe left money for the education of four poor children in our town 400 years ago. Mr. Smythe left five verses engraved on the old grammar school. Here in Market Harbour, every one is about working for God. He was equipped by the Bible for the good work of educating kids when they had no schools to go to. How does God's word train you? It equips you with faith and conviction. It compels you to do what is good. The Bible's not in competition with the Holy Spirit. He breathed it out of these authors, and he breathes it into your life. Don't close the book on what God wants to do in you and through you. It's never too late to profit from it. You don't know how? It tells us here, get alongside someone who lives it. Like Timothy did. He saw it in his mother and his grandmother. He saw it in Paul and he learned from it. That's the advice Paul had for Timothy. Paul says to him, follow what I did. Follow what you know about me. Follow in my steps. Let's ask ourselves the question again. The question we began with, who are you following? Of course, as Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. He said to his disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Paul took him up on it. He did that. Exactly that with Timothy and Titus and Mark and Luke and many others. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul demonstrates it, sharing his life and living out the word of God. That's a challenge for us this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to live it out, so it's not just some academic exercise, but that we would profit from it through our lives. We thank you for the people you've given us, people to help and people to be helped by. And we pray that you would help us to share our lives with such people, so that we might know your will and put it into practice. Thank you for the great treasures that you've given us and the great promises. Help us to believe them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.